The Sunday Dead Set Legends. Every Sunday morning from 10 on 104.7 Triple M. Thanks to CMI Toyota.
South Australia's number one Toyota dealer and the home of the one-hour express service.
Triple M.
Ah, yes, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Sunday edition of Dead Set Legends on this once again glorious day here in Adelaide. Cold mornings, beautiful sunny afternoons. Hope you've been for your walk and sit down, have a cup of coffee, put the feet up and listen to the show for the next 2.5 hours. We cover all the sporting issues that have happened around this wonderful, wonderful country of ours. As I welcome my partner in crime this morning, who's in a very, 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 very angry mood. I just warn you, ladies and gentlemen, he's fired up. He's had a crack at everybody in the studio when he walked in this morning. Andrew Newton, Jarman. Good morning, Jars.
G'day, KG. G'day, Adelaide. Lovely to be here on a beautiful Sunday.
That's not what you said a moment ago.
Hope you spend time with your family today. But honestly, I don't want to be here for the next 2.5 hours. Well, I honestly don't want to be around negative people regarding the Adelaide Crows.
Okay, fine.
You were embarrassing yesterday on radio regarding your comments saying that Tex Walker should go back to the sandful.
Yep.
Our producer just carrying on about Don Pike's a soft senior coach. I've had enough. You are stirring the pot. The overreaction regarding the Crows is a disgrace. And I'm embarrassed, being a former life member of this football club, that you've come out. We're 8-3, KG.
Yep.
We've got the second best percentage in the
Correct.
Competition, yep. or if not the best.
Yep.
We're the number one defence in the competition, the
yep.
number one attacking side in the competition.
Yep.
We've got some wonderful players. No one wins down at Geelong. No one wins
well,
down there.
See, that's
it's a graveyard for every other football club. But, oh, no, not you.
You're being
not
negative.
You. You want our captain down in the SANFL, which
yep.
is a disgraceful comment,
right.
and a lax respect for what you said 3 or 4 weeks ago. He's the best key forward running around in the competition.
I didn't say that
yes,
at all.
Yes, you did.
I did not.
And I'll get the evidence.
We'll get the evidence.
Absolutely. I'm ashamed to be a Crows player. Being in this flaming building with all the negativity with the Adelaide Crows.
So you're happy.
What crisis is there?
Well,
there's no crisis.
Did I mention the word crisis?
Yes, you did.
No,
in
I
our
didn't.
Off-air meeting.
A crisis is in the Sunday Mail, your former
yeah,
captain.
Yeah, my mate Chris McDermott, I don't agree with his comments,
well,
but he's entitled to that.
What
an overreaction. You and Lewis stirring the pot yesterday
right
regarding on. The club.
So you're happy with the last.
No, not happy. And,
well,
the, and you
well,
learn from
on.
Those results.
Well, hang on.
You learn from those results, but they're 8-3. That's all that matters. They've got enough wins in the bank to make sure they finish in the finals, correct?
Correct.
And you learn from the good sides. And do they play against these good sides every week to get conditioned to play finals-like football? No. No, because every second week there's a blowout because you're playing a weaker side.
Let me say to you.
The competition.
Let me say to you. Hang on, you've had your say. Are you happy with our last 5 weeks?
The last 5 weeks, we've played three sides.
No. Answer my question. I've answered yours.
No, I haven't.
Thank you.
No, I haven't.
Are there areas of concern over the last 5 weeks?
Maybe just around the midfield
well,
area.
That's about it.
We've got a very good forward line and a very good defence.
Well, we haven't got a very good forward line at the moment. They're not firing as they should.
Because our midfield have been exposed
well,
against
well,
three
well,
sides.
Well, whatever. Whatever, whatever. What I saw on Friday night concerned me. That there were two teams. There was Geelong, given the fact that their captain Selwood was like a kamikaze footballer, made every conceivable effort to get the football, irrespective of what could happen to his body. On the other side of the ledger, I didn't see the same from the Adelaide Football Club. Now, no one loves the club more than me, but I'm going to be brutally honest here. I'm not going to go on there and say something that I don't believe in. And the fact is that they were ordinary on Friday night, and you can't deny that. They were ordinary against North Melbourne. They were ordinary against Melbourne, and there are concerns. And if you ignore the signs, you ignore them at your own peril. That's my view. No one loves the Crows more than me, but I'm not gonna pussyfoot around and sugarcoat what I see on Friday night.
All right. 1-3-3-5. 1-3-3-3. I'm gonna pull you guys apart.
Well, just get a bloody sledgehammer.
All right, 1-3-3-5-3. Are you on Jar's side? Is this an overreaction as far as the Crows go? Or do you back KG up here? Do you think he's on the money? 1-3-3-5-3. The Crows got some concerns, like Cage is saying.
Not crisis time. Concerned. Ignore at your own peril.
Yeah, no, I did hear crisis in the meeting though
yeah,
before.
No.
Now you want Pikey sacked.
I was referring to the article in the mail by your former captain.
133353. This is going to be fun, Triple M.
Well, it's pretty hot here in the studio at the moment, the Triple M studio. Our talking point this morning is I've made the point that over the last 5 weeks, I've seen some areas of concern for the Crows. My friend here, well, my former friend, Jars, has made the point that it's a complete and utter overreaction. It's a disgrace. Give us your thoughts. Are you concerned? There's no crisis, but there are areas of concern that should be addressed. 133353 is our number. Give us a call, folks.
Twitter family's gone berserk. Jars, your head's in the sand. The Crows are soft. Our midfield is nowhere near good enough against the good teams.
No, they're not soft.
David Zorc, second best, if not the best. Check the bladder, you biased moron. I know why we don't listen to this rubbish. It'll piss off then, David. I said second best percentage in the competition. So check your ears out, you moron, David.
Oh,
Mark
God.
Of Meadows. G'day, Mark.
Morning, boys. How you going?
Yeah, good, Mark.
Good, mate.
Whoa.
I tell you what, lads, we were in some strife last year at that final at the SCG over our midfield, and we didn't back it up. And, boys, the same thing's going to happen again, I'm telling you.
The midfield is an area of a concern for me, Mark. And looking at contested possessions over the weekend, the boys did get smashed in that area by Geelong. They were far too good. 164 to 130. That's a big concern for Donny Pike, and that's happened against the three sides that have knocked us off.
Well,
so it's contested ball and it's midfield.
I'll come back. I'll make the point that no AFL football is soft, no AFL side is soft, but we were bullied by Geelong on Friday night, and we didn't handle it, and we didn't respond. We didn't react. And you're going to get that heat come finals time. That's a concern over the last 5 weeks. Thanks, Mark, for your call.
Good on you. Cara of Wakery. G'day, Cara.
Hello.
Hello, Cara.
I agree with both of you.
Gee, how can you agree with both of us, love?
Well, I think that Tex does need to stand up and be a proper captain and show by example.
Yep.
But I think everyone jumps on the bandwagon when they win, and then once they lose, that's it. All the criticism comes out and rubbish.
Well, Cara, it's not the fact they've lost. We can all accept that. No question, because every side at some stage is going to lose. But it's the way you lose. And over the last 5 weeks against North Melbourne, Melbourne, and now against the Cats, I don't believe we've reacted in the right physical manner. And I'll say it again, and I'll get shot because I love Tex Walker. Tex is the captain. He's got to be the leader. And he wasn't there on Friday night.
He definitely wasn't, no.
That's my point. And I know I'm going to get shot over saying it, but I'm saying it. That's what I saw.
Good on you, Cara. Joe of Clarence Gardens. G'day, Joe.
Morning, boys. How are we?
Good, Joe.
Good, mate. Thoughts?
Jars, love the passion, but I'm sorry, mate. You got it wrong. KJ, you're 100% right, mate. This is a bit of a deja vu from last year, and Jars, on your point, if they weren't 8-3, you'd be a lot more worried than what you are now, mate.
Well, they've earned the right to be 8-3. They have played some super footy, no question about that. But the last 5 weeks, there are areas that I think the club needs to address. No doubt about that. No
you
doubt.
Got it. You got to win away, boys. You got to win away, and you got to make a statement away. And I think that's where the Crows are lacking. They did it last year, and they've done it again this year. That's the difference between the good sides that play finals and those that just make the eight.
See, I looked at Geelong on Friday night and saw Selwood in particular, Dangerfield to a lesser degree, that they reacted. And look, I love the Crows, and I love them with a passion. But I'm here to give my thoughts. That's how I saw it.
Good on you, Joe. Neil of McLaren Vale. G'day, Neil.
Yeah, morning, Jars and KG. Yeah,
what are your thoughts?
I agree with KG on this one.
Okay.
I feel that, Jars, you've been around clubs long enough, and if, you know, a team that hasn't got a bit of heart and spirit, you don't just develop it at this age. You need it at a younger age, and I feel that we get muscled out too easy in big games. And come finals times, enough finals that clubs come to play, and if you don't come to play with a bit of muscle, you're going to be left standing.
See, North Melbourne set the pattern, and then Melbourne followed through Simon Goodwin, and then we saw signs. Then they beat Brisbane, Brisbane on the bottom of the ladder. They smashed Frio, they were fine. But then again, Friday night, I saw signs that worry me, because, look, I desperately want the Crows to win the premiership. Mm. Goodness gracious me, but they just weren't
You're
there.
Right, Cade. I mean, especially when you've got your captain up front kicking a goal or kicking a point dead in front when he should be kicking that goal, and shot in straight or nothing, you know, concerned that he missed the goal. And it's at the critical parts where if your captain kicks the goal, the whole team lifts around you.
See, what really... No, I won't say it. I've said enough. I'll get myself in the...
Good on you, Neil. Valid point there, mate. Let's go to Tony of Glen. G'day, Tone.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Good, Tony.
Yeah, go on.
Go on. No, your point, Tony. It's your call.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying I've been watching them play and I just think they lack the endeavour to go in hard and, you know, a bit soft on the ball.
But, Tone, our contested ball numbers have been fantastic for most of the year. So it's not as if they're not going in hard.
Is it any coincidence that it's since Sloane's been shut down?
Yes, in a way. But I think that when you approach the ball, you approach the ball with vigour and you play for the ball all the time. And at the same time, you might take out a player or two, which is accidentally. But you've got to show that the other teams that, you mean business. You come here to play football, not to play, you know, softies. Well, so that's the way I see it.
Selwood set the bar Friday night.
He sets the bar every week.
Well, yeah, I know. I understand that, Jars.
He's the barometer for their football club. Every club has a barometer.
And Sloane is the same.
Who's
for us.
Who's Port Adelaide's barometer?
Oh,
when he's up and about.
Oh, Charlie Dixon at the moment.
Last week was the first time.
Oh, Charlie Dixon.
But prior to that,
Charlie Dixon.
Is it Ollie Wines?
Ollie Wines.
Is it Robbie Gray? Is it Trav Boak? Every club has a barometer, and that's what Geelong have got. They've got two of them at the moment.
Right.
Ours is Sloane. We're no question.
And so when he's shut down, nobody has the ability or nobody has the commitment to stand up and take the bar away from Sloane. Now, that's what I said on Friday night. We needed somebody, and that should have been our leader, to show the way. That's my view on it.
James on Twitter said, "Boys, the problem is the Crows administration. They just sat on their hands after we lost Danger rather than go hard recruiting." That's from James on Twitter.
I don't think it's that at all. Not at all. Not for one moment. It's just you've just.
Are we a strong inside mid short?
We are
in terms of recruiting.
Yeah, yes, we are. But when things are running for Adelaide, we play. No one will get within a bull's roar of us. But it's when they shut down Sloane, when they shut down a couple of our players, we got nobody that'll lift and do the physical thing. It was a Judge. You've been around football all of your life. You've played it at the highest level. You saw what I saw Friday night. Now you can't tell me. Look me in the eye. Don't look away.
No, I'm looking you.
You can't. You can't tell me that you wouldn't have been slightly disappointed with our reaction to the Geelong side.
I was disappointed. Well,
Let me say this to you.
I was disappointed.
Before half-time.
But I'm sick to death of how everyone's just whacking
it.
The overreaction because of that performance.
You call it as you see it.
You're 8-3, all right? The numbers are stacking up pretty well. Yes, there's some players that are just not playing that well the last 2 or 3 weeks.
So there are areas of concern.
The only concern that I see is just fix up the midfield. Fix up the midfield. The back six have been outstanding, and I think the forward line is as potent as any if the ball gets delivered correctly inside forward 50. What do you mean, no?
Well, I saw the jumper punch and on young Cass, and I said, now, come on, someone show some balls here.
Right.
And what did I see?
What did you see?
2 or 3 Crows players walk in and verbally have a crack. I thought... Words are cheap.
You want them rubbed out for a
week
or two.
No, I don't. But
because that's what happens.
What did Selwood do? Selwood threw his body in like kamikaze.
So does Sloane.
When he stopped, nobody else does.
Yes, KG, let's go down to Alberton and talk to their president, David Kosh, a good friend of ours. Koshy, thanks for your time on a Sunday morning. You've just come back from a 20K run.
No, God, my youngest daughter lives in London, and I was on the phone to her. I lost track of time. So, you know, she's a long way from anything. She was in the north of London, but, you know, as a parent, you get a bit worried.
Well, David, I don't blame you for one minute.
Sorry about that.
No, that's fine.
No, it's all good, mate.
David, can I say from the top, congratulations on the Shanghai game. It was unbelievable, the success of that. And you must be delighted now with the number of Victorian sides that now want to play you in Shanghai.
Well, it's one of those things. It was a gamble for us. But, you know, we've talked many times before about how do you get yourself away from the pack, the AFL competition in terms of building the commercial side of the club up.
Yep.
And China was thinking outside the square. It was a bit of a gamble. And with all those sorts of things, when you when you do a first, it's hard to convince everyone of the logic behind it, and you've just got to go and prove it. And I got to say, I'm incredibly proud of the entire club. Keith Thomas, the executive team, our China team have worked so hard on it, and to pull it off was really satisfying. And what it's done is open the eyes of the AFL to think, wow, maybe there is potential up there, and we now see your logic. So we've had an enthusiastic response from the AFL, from a number of other clubs who are saying, look, now we understand, you know, the benefit, not just for Port, but for the wider AFL competition and community.
And
so,
you'll do it for the next 5 years?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think at least. We're certainly committed, the AFL. We've had a big debrief with the AFL. We're putting together a long-term plan to present to the commission. They're very enthusiastic about it. They're saying, you tell us how you want us to be involved, but we're in for the long term with you. So that's really heartening for us as a club, because, you know, you've got to think outside South Australia to grow your club. You've got to and to go to our biggest trading partner. Yep. You know, we're bringing in a lot of Chinese partners, and they see it as a great way of building relations with the Australian community. You know, to be honest, Australians don't trust the Chinese, and the Chinese don't trust us generally, but we're joined at the hip by trade. And if sport can break down some of those barriers, and we can help break down some of those barriers, it's for the good of everyone. That's why the federal government is so supportive of us as well.
That's fantastic. And David, the other remarkable thing, Port Adelaide, the last two years, down the gurgler, not playing ordinary football. This year, how the club has turned that around, whereby now you're becoming contenders for the flag. It's been remarkable.
It's a bit. We've got to keep a bit of a lid on it. It's certainly big improvement from last year, and sort of over summer, you know, we were quite open saying that we've reviewed everything. We had a good. It started the day after the Gold Coast game last year at the end of the round, the final round, when Keith and Ken and Bokey and I sat down and said, right, 2017 starts now, and how do we become more ruthless to be elite?
Gee.
And we had to be ruthless to be elite. And so we went from the top all the way down through the football department. And what, you know, my message to Ken and Bokey was, you know, what do I need to do? And what do we need to do as a club to give you the best opportunity to succeed? And Ken, what do I need to do to make you a 10-year coach? And so it was a full and frank discussion. It's very open. That's what we are as a club. We're very transparent. We stick together, though, and we say, all right, what do we need to do? And then we put in a number of initiatives over the off-season, and just little initiatives, and it's really starting to pay off. We need to be better at finishing, sort of 13 goals, 20.
Yep.
Blimey. You know, there's a bit, so we've got a bit of improvement to do in a whole bunch of areas, but we're progressing, which is the main thing.
Koshy, one area that I think has really picked up is your senior players have taken ownership of the way that the players play when under pressure, and I think that's a real good trademark going forward.
Yep. You look at Brad Ebert is playing sort of career best football at the moment. Fatherhood seems to suit him.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, imagine what he'd be like if he had
twins
or triplets. Yeah. You know, Tommy Jonas is playing career best. Jack Honch, the back line is really setting the foundation up. And you put in another young bull like Pep and to support Ollie and Bogey in the centre. And, you know, things have got a pretty reasonable balance at the moment. And the coaching staff have just done an awesome job. Lady coming in.
Yes,
Nick,
good point.
Nick's been promoted.
Been
So it's sort of clicking. There's a good feel of the club. And as you guys know, football today is a momentum game.
Yep.
If you get your momentum going, things start to click, and it's we're a classic example of that.
No doubt about that, Koshy. You're smiling. Good luck, David. We appreciate your time.
Thanks,
and
good on you guys.
Let's hope you're doing okay. Thanks, David. David Koch, the chairman of the Port Adelaide Footy Club. That's been remarkable, honestly.
And I'm glad that they sat down into the year, open dialogue.
Yep.
How can we make Kenny, the coaching staff, and the playing group better?
Yeah. I tell you what,
next month is going to be really important for the club.
Don't underestimate, and I'm a Kenny Hinkley fan, as you will know, but don't underestimate one other bloke too, Brendan Laid. Very well thought of it.
Were you going to apologise to Koshy for your
comments?
Well,
I didn't have time because...
Yes, you did. You could have... You said you were going to apologise to him, and you didn't.
No, I was going to tell him that I was critical of the fact that in the early part of the season, he kept talking about Kenny Hinkley's future, and I said that was unnecessary publicly.
But
do it behind closed doors.
Being the Doyen of radio for 45 years, why didn't you ask him that question?
Because I get the wind up from Sean.
Dead set legends.
No, I'm not blaming Sean.
You're blaming Sean.
Fair
dinkum, at least you remember my name.
Gee, grumpy Gus today.
KG and Jars on Triple M.
Jars, the Tommy Hawkins one, which we saw Friday night, the jumper punch on young Matthew Crouch.
Matty Crouch,
Matty Crouch. He'll get off. He has to. But because,
why will he get off?
Well, because of what the match review panel has done in the past. We saw Cochin, we saw Jones, all do exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And both those players previously got fines of
$1,500. You're saying he'll just get a fine?
He'll get a fine. If they suspend him, I reckon the Geelong Football Club will go have every right to go nuts because they've painted themselves in the corner. They should have jumped all over this
early,
the first one, and set the tone for it. And they haven't done it. Now they're
was it a reckless or intentional?
It was intentional.
That's the two keys that the match review panel look at.
It was dead set intentional.
Intentional.
Oh, no question.
Well, if it's intentional, he should get a week.
Well, you're right. He should get a week. So should have Cochin and Jones, but they didn't. Now the pattern's been set, they can't suspend him. How would it be if it was Dangerfield instead of Hawkins, and they suspended Dangerfield and it cost him the Brownlow, keeping in mind that Jones and Cochin did exactly the same thing and got off?
Well,
you can't do it.
Well, you can do it.
Well,
if it's intentional, you pay the price. If you're going to go and jump a punch,
so was
you've got to pay a price.
So was Cochin. So was Jones.
It's not a good look.
It's a shocking look.
It wasn't a good look by Hawkins. He's playing his 200th game. His family are in the grandstand.
His wife.
He's got to be more disciplined than that.
Exactly. Sean made a point.
What?
The panel should take in the reaction from his wife in the grandstand. She was horrified.
But we don't want the kiddies doing that.
No, it's terrible.
You know, and there is, hey, I tell you, there's junior footy on today, and I bet you we'll see some incidents today in regards to young lads jumper punching another lad.
We
cannot tolerate that.
I agree.
Zero tolerance.
I agree. But
so the AFL need to make an example of someone. Is it Tom Hawkins? The match review panel is a farce, should be abolished.
Correct.
But we'll wait and see tomorrow.
I tell you what, if they suspend him, I'll be...
Do you reckon Geelong will fight appeal?
Oh, Geelong will go absolutely... No, I would. I'd go nuts. If I was Brian Cook, I'd go absolutely nuts.
Bands. Hey, KG, I want to talk to you about who are the top three or four or five players that tick over the turnstiles every week that fans go and watch, kids buy their jumper, right, and their AFL influencers on the field. Who would you be? Who'd be your top three?
Well, there'd be Rory Sloan.
Oh, hang on. Rory Sloan, yeah.
No question. From Port Adelaide, gee whiz. That's a good question, Josh. You put me on the spot now.
No, but not just our clubs.
Right
across the competition.
Right across the
Who are bringing people through the turnstiles?
Dangerfield.
Oh.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
That's good.
Dangerfield, and who else is bringing...
Eddie Betts,
that's it.
All right. Well, I'll give you my five.
Right,
five. Buddy Franklin.
Are you Buddy
without
Franklin?
A doubt.
Yeah.
Right, he's bringing people through the turnstiles.
No question.
Joel Selwood, Eddie Betts is three.
Yep.
Dustin Martin's my number four.
Yep.
And Robbie Gray.
Yeah.
And there's others. There's no question. But they're the five that I would pay top dollar to go and watch for two hours of football every weekend.
I think we can throw in Charlie Dixon now too. Everybody's talking about this big hulk of a man. He's grabbing his marks. He's contesting the ball on the ground. I think he's another one.
Have we got enough of these type of players compared to, say, 10, 15 years ago? Or compared to the 80s?
Well, we have, but we haven't got the same players with the personality that we
and
had.
The characters.
And the characters that we had.
We've lost
years
the characters.
Ago. But because the game, in fairness, has become, in my view, very professional, which is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
They warm up, they warm down, they do
they
all
do,
that.
Yeah, yep.
I don't think we've really got the characters that we had, say, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And I think that's an area that we should look at. We haven't. They'll certainly draw fans through the gates, and my argument will probably be defeated because the attendances are up. So people are going to the footy, but you'd just like to see some players with like you, Jars. Now you do people through the turnstiles.
But I was always, everyone called me a lair and a clown.
You've got to have a bit of
no,
lair.
No, but I always felt that football was about entertainment.
Correct, it is.
Play your
That's
role.
My point.
Play within the disciplines of the team.
Be professional,
but be entertaining.
I agree.
Because they'll come back again. They might not like you, but they will come back again.
Yeah, they'll come back to have a crack.
Because that's what
chat.
Our great game's about: entertainment.
Exactly.
Entertainment.
I don't think we've got the same personalities.
Because a mate of mine yesterday said to me, "Who would you go and watch for 2 hours?" And it got me thinking overnight for this show.
Definitely Franklin.
Who's your top five AFL players who tick over the turnstiles and all the kids buy their jumpers?
Eddie Betts is a glaring one. Eddie Betts is a standout
for me.
Okay, let's throw it open, Jars. Hey, throw it open to the Triple M
Whatever
family.
Whatever you want to do, George.
I reckon Joe Danaher is turning into be a long,
unbelievable,
a tall version of you. The way he sort of does that, the way he sort of plays to the crowd, waves his hands.
Joe Danaher can mark, can kick, can run, can handle.
His ground ball's poor.
He's flamboyant though. He's flamboyant. He kisses the crowd. Yeah. Okay. Just like you.
Let's throw the lines open. Triple M, Triple M family. Who are the players that really, in your opinion, would attract you to go to the footy and see them
play? Tick over the turnstiles.
Good on you, Sean. We're throwing it open to the Triple M family. It's been a good, great reaction. Who is the player or players that tick over the turnstiles?
Yeah.
Make you want to go to the football? Make
membership rises, kids buying their jumpers in droves. The AFL influencers on the field, who are they?
Yeah, yeah.
And it got me thinking overnight, having a bit of a chat to a mate yesterday, because when you go and watch football, you want to watch the best at their best.
Oh, exactly.
And when you watch them, it is a pleasure to go and watch them for 2 hours. So I said, look, for me, my top was Buddy Franklin, without a doubt.
Yep.
Joel Selwood, I love to watch. And Eddie Betts.
Eddie Betts is a standout.
When
no
he's
question.
On, he's as good as any.
Oh, sensational.
I had Dustin Martin and Robbie Gray. I love watching Robbie Gray when he's in full flight.
Let's go to the Triple M family.
All right, let's go to Nick of Davern Park. G'day, Nick.
How you going, boys?
Good mate.
I have to say, Dustin Martin.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't see anyone don't argue as much as he can, mate.
Did you see him last night? How good was he last night?
He was brilliant.
Oh, mate, he is unstoppable.
Turn the game.
Like, especially, he changes a game. And especially like you're talking about, KG, your captain's changing a game.
Yep.
Martin can change a game. And it's amazing how much input. Even another person I think is Alex Grant with Richmond.
Champion.
I think he can.
Yep.
He's amazing to watch too, especially how he fists and defends the ball.
Best defender in the business, without a doubt.
Prize for Nick, please.
Yeah, absolutely. How about this? This is pretty cool. We have a double to the first NRL game in Adelaide since 2010, back in your day when you were tied up with the Rams.
Yeah, Adelaide Rams, boy.
Sydney Roosters versus Melbourne Storm, Saturday, June 24 at Adelaide. Oh, well, this is going to be massive, isn't
beautiful.
It? Tickettech.com.au. You double pass for you. Well done.
Good on you, Nick. Thank you for your call.
Shawnee of Morford Vale. G'day, Shawnee.
G'day, fellas. How are you?
Good, Sean.
Look, I think Tom Lynch up there at the Gold Coast.
Yeah, he's a talent.
Good
isn't
point.
He?
Yeah, he's becoming a very, very good footballer there, Shawnee.
Good talent. But is he the sort of player that would make you want to go and see him? I guess he would be.
Especially the young kids, I think.
Yeah, well, he's an exciting.
He's in the top three key forwards in the comp.
Yeah, but he
influences.
Has he got enough flair about him?
Yeah,
I know he's only.
He's got a lot of mungle in him.
Has he?
Oh, yeah. He's aggressive.
Enough.
He's an aggressive player, old Tommy.
Fair enough.
Steve of Henley Beach. G'day. Henley Bridge. Henley Bridge. Oh. G'day, Steve. Hamley Bridge.
Henley Beach.
Well, it's got Henley Bridge. Who wrote
that's
that?
All right. Jeez,
you
that's all right.
We've done a tour of South Australia.
Sorry, Steve.
No, you're all right, mate. Look, I love all the Indigenous players. They're just exciting to watch. Like Chad Wingard, even Power Pepper with it, don't argue. Eddie Betts, Charlie Cameron, Buddy Archie. They just keep going
they're
on.
Great,
yeah,
hey,
Steve, that's a good point.
They're great
Steve
players.
Mentioned a player there, Steve. Charlie Cameron. I love watching that kid play.
Yeah, no, exciting. Great to watch.
When he turns on the afterburner and woof, catch me if you can.
Exactly. No, fantastic to watch. So, yeah, no, great stuff.
Well done.
Yeah, they are
going
to
Steve of Henley Beach. Sue from Henley Beach. G'day, Sue.
Hi, guys. Dusty Martin. Yeah. His school's clean, superb.
Yeah.
Love watching him.
Yeah.
Two other points. KG, you made a good remark before, Brendan Lade. Yeah. I call Ruckman the Lade tap.
Yeah,
I
tell you
what. He's got a bit of influence there.
Oh, no question about this.
And the other thing is, Robbie Gray.
Yeah.
Stop back-chatting the umpires. It's embarrassing. He does it every game. He argues with them. Just get on with playing the game.
And you know what, Sue? He's not getting the free kicks that he deserved.
Because
of that, I think.
I would agree with that. Absolutely. Mm. They were my 3 points.
Yeah,
got
on your suit. Yeah,
love
I love watching
him.
Have a lovely day, Sue.
It was silky smooth last night, Dusty Martin. Mm. Oh, God.
I've got a lot of my players at Gaze that like bat chatting.
Do you?
Yeah.
Is that why they got beat yesterday?
Jason of Anglevale. G'day, Jace.
Ignored that.
Morning, gents. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Jason.
In the modern era, I don't think you can go past young Mr. Ablett, can you? The crowds he would have brought through for that team is just insane.
Yep. He was good yesterday, too.
He was pretty good. But like you say, the flamboyancy, it's just not there. Back in the 70s and 80s, you could name every player. I was a young lad in my duffel coat with my red, white and blue 44 on the back when Mr. Platten played in
South Australia. Yeah, I used to love Platts. Used to love him.
Duffel coats, jackets, everyone wore their Central's jackets. I'm from the northern suburbs, obviously.
Yep.
But everyone was so proud, and you just don't see it so much these days. On game day in the shops, someone will wear a scarf, but that's it. It's not out there in the streets like it used to be.
No,
it's
amazing.
It's flamboyant.
I can recall in the 60s, I had my black duffel coat on with number 13 in red on my back, Jackie Lynch. And my other favourite was girls.
You know, one of my other favourites, because Barry Robbin's my idol, and I love and I cherish
number
Barry
10.
Robbin, Wilbur Wilson.
Oh, yeah, big Wilbur.
Used to love Wilbur.
For the Bulldogs.
Yeah, mate, I used to love watching him play.
So did I. Love him.
You know,
wasn't
he'd be
quick.
A couple of kilos over.
No, how many?
A couple of kilos.
How many?
But still, one of the most skillful blokes I've ever watched.
And a lovely bloke. Mm. A lovely young man.
Good on you, Jason. Rose of North Haven. Hello, Rose.
Hi. How are you going?
Good,
hey,
Rose.
Hey, the guy that was before you, go the Centrals, go the Bulldogs. Hey, we love him.
Yeah.
SANFL.
Yep. But who's
and
your favourite footballer?
Wilson. That's it. And also, I mean, what I'm trying to say, hey, the good players, we've got to go Eddie.
Yeah, Eddie Betts a standout.
Yep. Who else?
Yep, we've got to go Charlie Cameron.
Yep, Charlie, I love him.
And you got another one?
Okay, we've got to go, Rory Sloane.
Yep.
Mm.
And we've also got to go Patrick Dangerfield.
Yeah, like he was good. No, he was good Friday night.
He's been a superb player.
Yeah, he was good.
I'm still critical of his ball use.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know I'll never change that attitude,
but he was good
you can
Friday
never
night.
Question his ball-getting ability and way he can just drag aside.
Unbelievable.
As
no,
good on you, Rose. Good on you, Rose. Have a lovely day. It's interesting, isn't it? You could go back, you know, back in the 60s and 70s and 80s.
But it was a different game then, Jars, whereby
But I'm talking about the modern day today.
No question. So. Eddie Betts, to me, is a standout. Franklin, Dustin Martin, is some wonderful players.
Kimmy Rogers of the Twitter family said Toby Green.
Toby
GWS.
Green. Yeah, look, he's a wonderful talent, wonderful player, but he just loses the plot.
Is he bringing people through the gates?
Oh, he would, but he just loses the plot a bit, Toby Green. Ah, yes, and something now for the motorsport enthusiasts, as we talk to three-time winner of the Bathurst 1000, one of Australia's most popular and powerful open-wheel categories, is set to return, Jars, to the racetrack in 2018 following the completion of a 600-brake horsepower Super 5000 open wheeler.
Oh, dear.
Sounds exciting, unbelievable. As we welcome to the program, a man of, as I said, who won Bathurst 1000 three times, Garth Thander. Garth, thanks for your time.
No worries, boys. Good morning.
Yeah,
g'day, Garth.
Garth, can you tell our listeners about this new supercar 5000? How quick does it go? What and so forth?
Yeah, look, seriously fast car. As you said, it's reminiscent of the old Formula 5000 cars, which are the old V8 powered open wheelers used to see in the 70s and early 80s, which were awesome machines. And this is a modern take on that. So it runs a supercar engine, a supercar gearbox. So the same as what you'll see in the cars at the Clipsal 500 in the supercars. So same engine and gearbox, but in a open wheeler with big tyres, big slick tyres, big aerodynamics, a big wing. So this thing's seriously fast. It's probably around somewhere like Phillip Island where we tested it last a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
It's around 10 to 12 seconds a lap faster than a supercar.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah, it's well, you think it's got the same horsepower as a supercar, but it weighs half as much. So the power-to-weight ratio is just incredible. And it's a spectacular-looking car. It's sort of modelled on, it's a bit of a retro-looking thing, so it's sort of modelled on those cars from the 70s and early 80s. But all the modern safety and all the modern technology built into it. So it's a pretty cool thing. And actually built right there in Adelaide.
Yeah,
well. That's the good news.
I was going to say that, mate. Designed and developed in South Australia. So who was involved with that then, Garth?
Yeah, a company called Supershock, who's based in Adelaide there. Oscar Fiorinotto, who's a motorsport engineer, been involved in the industry for a huge amount of time and really, really experienced, and now runs his company Supershock, which a lot of the supercars use his shock absorbers and his technology in their race cars. And you know, he's actually doing all sorts of stuff with, you know, military, all sorts of stuff now. So real South Australian, you know, brilliant for company.
Yeah.
It's a great.
They designed and built this car, and it's an awesome bit of kit.
So, Garth, when will it hit the racetrack?
Well, they're hoping they can hit the track in 2018. So obviously still just been finalising the testing process at the moment, and then the cars will go into production soon. So, once they hit the track, you think 20 or more of these things belting around the Clipsal 500 circuit as a complement to the supercars race. So the sound and the sight of these things spinning around at Adelaide would be absolutely
Garth, they tell me they're loud and they're boisterous. So you just imagine the reaction from the crowd here, the Clipsal 500. They'd go nuts, Garth.
Absolutely, absolutely. It makes plenty of noise. Really spectacular looking car. It'll capture the imagination of the people that remember those cars from the 70s and 80s.
Yep.
And then also their kids as well. We'll get an idea of what it's all about. So, and then from the driver's point of view, an awesome thing to drive as well.
Mate, let's talk about the V8's top 10 supercar series. Now, you're sitting sixth at the moment on 104 points. Have you seen your season so far in your car there, Garthy? Oh, no. Garth.
Gary Rogers Motorsport.
You're right.
Yep.
And that's going well. The team had to change, so they changed from Volvo back to Holden's as well. So we had a massive offset getting all that organised. So sitting sixth at the moment. We're really, really happy with that. And we're up in Darwin in a couple of weeks' time for the next round.
And I see where Fabian Coulthard is leading at the moment, Garth.
Yeah, there's a bunch of Kiwis up the front.
Yeah, I see that.
Jamie Winkart, Coulthard, McLaughlin, Van Gisbergen.
Yeah, I know. It's cool. It's an Australian series. All these Kiwis over here.
Hey, Garth, can I ask you, driving this new car, the Super 5000, compared to the supercars, what's the difference?
Chalk and cheese.
Are they?
So, obviously, with the Super 5000 car, the open wheeler, there's a lot more aerodynamic. The car's a lot lighter. So, corners a lot faster. Does everything faster because you think it's the same as a supercar, but it's got more grip effectively and more power because of the power to weight ratio. So the car's quite a bit different to drive. But you know what you can't do in the Super 5000 car is you can't sort of, it's not a sort of contact sport if you like. Whereas supercar racing can be a bit of a contact. Get away with it. With these other cars, the new Super 5000 cars, well, it's spectacular to drive and they'll be spectacular to watch on the circuit. Probably just need to treat the car with a bit more
respect.
A bit more
respect, yeah.
Well, Garth, thanks for your time. We look forward to the big super cars coming into action, and good luck for the rest of the year in the supercars.
Cheers, guys. Thanks very much.
Thanks, well, Garth. Garth Tander.
Super 5000 racer, Kate.
Gee. I mean, can you imagine them at the Clipsal 500, watching that go around the circuit. They are loud, they are boisterous, and they fly.
Bit like this show.
talking about boisterous, Jars.
I'm a beautiful car when I'm up and about.
Oh, beautiful.
You just purr.
I'm
just
a five-speed, Sean. I'm a five-speed.
You got no gears. You're in neutral all the time.
I don't understand. It doesn't matter, though. Dead Set Legends, KG and Jars on 104.7 Triple M.
Jars, I picked up the mail this morning, and quite surprisingly, from my point of view, on the front page of the Sunday Mail in big black headlines, Dangerfield tells My Footy Demons, and it goes on to say, Brownlow medalist Patrick Dangerfield has revealed he needed a psychiatrist to help battle anxiety at the height of his days in Adelaide. Now, I would never have ever thought that of Patrick Dangerfield. Never.
There's a lot of anxiety amongst young footballers today.
Well, are the expectations on today's modern AFL players too high?
Yeah, it is.
There's social media, there's the role model expectations and so forth. Is it too high?
Yes, it is.
So what do we and Patrick Dangerfield's not the first. Alex Fasola from Collingwood, of course, during the week said he was going to take a break because of the pressure of AFL football. You know, that really and truly is
sad. It's social media that doesn't help the players. It's us, the media.
That's 24 hours
a
day.
It's us, the media, that doesn't help the players.
That puts pressure
because
on.
Because we are critical of players.
Like for argument's
sake. What you said about Tex Walker, you don't think that would upset Tex if he did hear it, and if he got some friends saying, look, KG's been whacking on radio, reckons you should go back to the sample, comments saying he should step down as captain. Look, I think Tex is, in terms of being an individual,
strong.
He might be a strong individual. I don't know. I don't know what upsets Tex beyond the closed doors, but the bar is very, very high in today's game, Cage.
So how do we get around that? It's obviously up to the clubs to say to their players and make certain that they don't
A lot of clubs are starting to look
at social media.
Hawthorne monitor their players over social media. You know, look, this is from left field, a bit extreme, but do you shut down players on social media for 9 months of the year while they're playing footy?
I think you do.
Because a lot of them do get offended and upset.
I don't care who you are. Even on radio, when you and I and Sean get criticised for things we do, it hits a nerve. There's no question about that. And we get a bit sort of sensitive about it and walk away and think, well, you know, am I right? Am I wrong? And you start to think about yourself and your credibility. But it's amazing about the AFL footballers. I know they get well paid.
Yeah.
That's another issue.
Yeah,
But I hate to read stories about a player, in this case, Patrick Dangerfield. So let's throw it open to the family. Are the expectations too high on the present-day AFL footballers? Social media, they kept saying they are role models and so forth. Does the media and social media put too much expectation on our present-day AFL footballers?
Western Bulldogs captain Bobby Murphy, this is what he said regarding social media, Cage.
I worry about it because it is the extremes of conversation on there, and all of us get some pretty interesting things. I often ask the young players, who's the best player in the league? And, you know, they might say, you know, Matt Fyfe or Gary Ablett. I said, oh, okay, well, just so you know, whenever those guys go on Twitter, they get abused and trolled. Something comes your way that you're the only one, don't worry about it because the very, very best get five times as much.
Well, there you go. So it's a problem.
Personally, I was on Facebook for a period of time to have fun with the people that, you know, I'm close to. Yep. And then I decided to get off the Facebook, and that was probably 2.5 years ago. I've never, ever been on the social Twitter world.
No.
And I'll never will.
No, me either.
It's dangerous. It is because you've got all those trolls. I call them vermin. That's what I just call them. That's personally my thoughts.
Vermin.
Yeah, they're vermin. Because they just sit behind there and they can destroy an individual in minutes.
Well, depression
because a lot of them can't handle the abuse.
Depression is just a shocking illness. It really is a shocking illness.
I agree.
Okay, give us a call, folks. Are the expectations from the media too high and too strong on the present AFL football?
KG, let's talk Sandfall as we do every Sunday.
Yes, we do.
Legends, and one of the best coaches in the competition is Eagles senior coach Mickey Godden joins us. Mickey, thanks for your time, and well done on a 50K bike ride this morning.
Yeah, not quite this morning, Charles.
Oh, buddy. Now, yesterday, got out of jail. Obviously, you got the two points against the Roosters, but you had to work hard for the win.
Yeah, we did, Charles. We were probably very lucky in the end. They didn't kick straight early, which could have really hurt us. But, we're certainly not playing as well as we were a month ago, but you've just got to try to win, and that's what we did. And when the game was going to be won at the end, the players were really good. They stood up and Bunks kicked a telling goal, and then we were able to follow that up with Ethan Haylock finishing it off. So, look, it wasn't pretty, but we got there in the end.
And Michael, that's a sign of a bit of a character among your players. When you don't play well, you're under the pump, and when the game was up for grabs, they had the strength and character to get over the line. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, Coach, it's really important that you have close games throughout a year, and I think the last couple of years, we've only had maybe two or three that I can remember that were really close and really challenged you in those moments. So, you know, close games build character, and that's what we started yesterday.
And Mickey, you kicked 6-1 in the third quarter. You were in control. What sort of didn't happen for you after that?
We made the start of the last quarter. I thought we started really well the first 10 minutes, and then we just made some dumb decisions, really. We gave away three genuine shots on goal just from you know, out of character decisions by our players. So things that we can certainly tidy up, and you know, it's just simple errors that probably, because we were 5 goals down early, just made it a bit more heightened because we couldn't get a big enough lead.
Mickey, what about the competition itself? There's at least, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 6 teams that could finish in the top 5, if not, you know, get top spot if you boys do dip at the rest of the year.
Yeah, Charles, it's brilliant, isn't it? It's great for our competition. The competition's really healthy at the moment. And, you know, the Sturt's big win yesterday over Nord really sort of opened things up. But Nord were really good last week against us. And obviously Port, we've seen them firsthand, who are really good. So, yeah, it's a really even comp in that, especially in that top 6 or 7. Anything can happen on any given day.
Yeah, if you could change one thing about the Sandfall, what would you change, Mick?
Bigger crowds, Charles.
How do we get bigger crowds?
I just don't know. Look, the footy is brilliant footy.
Yeah, like, it is. You know,
there is absolutely nothing wrong with it. But even yesterday at home, we had a triple header. We played at 18s reserves and league. Beautiful day, and 1,800 turned up. Yeah. And look, they're in full voice. But yeah, it's just a bit sad because these lads, you know how hard they work. These lads work hard and they put on a good show. And yeah, look, the footy's fantastic, so I can't knock that. It's just love to see a few more bums on seats.
Yeah, it's amazing. But how do you do it? Do you play?
The admission's what? 14, 15 bucks?
Too much.
Mate, maybe trial for 12 months or
$5.
$5 or free. Get in for free. Oh, I don't know. I'm just trying something out there.
Yeah, look, I think we've got to try all those things, you know, whether it's admission prices, whether it's playing on the days that the people want to come, not so much the days we want to play, you know, maybe Saturday afternoons. We've gone to that this year and it's been a bit tougher to draw the people in. So, yeah, look, we've got to keep moving with the time.
Exactly. Mickey, can I ask you, not a difficult question, but on the front page of today's Mail, Patrick Dangerfield said he's suffered from anxiety and so forth, and we got social media, we've got the media and so forth. Do you advise your players not to go on social media and read the stuff?
Yeah, you can, Cage. It's really difficult in today's world because they're basically addicted to it, most lads and most of that age group. So, yeah, look, you've just got to try to help them the best they can. I'm lucky to come from a different generation. I don't enter into it. I don't do social media, and I actually really don't care what people say. So I'm a bit lucky, whereas a lot of people do, and it can be quite relentless. And yeah, for the players, we just try to educate them that the people that matter are the ones within the four walls of the footy club and your family. And other than that, people say what they want. And yeah, anxiety and depression is a real thing. Yep. And it's something that we have to deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Mickey, thank you for your time. Good luck. You're on song. You've only lost the one game so far. So good luck for the remainder of the year, Michael. All the very best.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, guys.
Good on you, Michael. Well, Mickey Godden is the best coach at SNFL level.
Needs to get in the AFL some stage.
Well, he does.
No, he's ready.
And there's another bloke in the wings, too, who I'm telling you.
Who?
Matty Loken, the present coach
of
the Bucks.
What about Matty Mantner?
He's up there as well. Yep, for the Sturt coach. Yep, I'm with you.
What about Roy Laird?
No, I don't think Roy's got that ambition.
Any more? That's it?
What about Joshy Carr?
DSL Q&A. The big questions, the straight answers.
All right.
Now, hit me between
you know the
rules.
I know the rules. You don't sit on the fence.
I don't sit on
you
the fence.
You don't hesitate with your response.
I'll just give it to you straight between the eyes.
Who's to blame for a $33 million loss over the first 5 years of the Big Bash competition?
Well,
who's to blame?
That's a good question. Not being inside the Cricket Australia without knowing the workings of it, but it is a question that deserves an answer. The Big Bash rated so-and-so off. Crowds were enormous. And to come out and say they've lost $33 million, answers have to be given. And an investigation has to be conducted. Simon Kadish, former test player, made the same point. Gee, I was stunned with that.
So
stunned. Stunned.
How would you describe chief writer of the Herald Sun, Mark Robertson's insensitive tweet
absolute,
at Pies?
Absolutely stupid. He's gone off at the mouth without thinking about it and deserves to issue a very, very sincere...
But he already has, though.
Well, I don't care. Another one. I didn't hear it.
Is tennis great Margaret Court a bigot?
No. Margaret Court... Get it? Look, she's had her say. Martina's had her say. Let's move on. It's dragging on. It's taking away from the French Open. It's gone too long. Move away. It's dead.
Do you think Crows coach Don Pike is a soft coach?
No, I don't. No, no way. And for anybody to say it's stupid, he's not a soft coach.
Should AFL bring back State of Origin football?
Yes. Look, I love it. I grew up on it. Some of the best games of football I've ever seen. Mm. And sitting home last Wednesday night watching the rugby strut their stuff,
yep, State of
said
Origin.
To me, I want to see that big white V and that magnificent red jumper, which you've worn a number of times. At Adelaide Oval, State of Origin would be sensational. I know Shorty doesn't agree with me, but I'm a very
this
passionate...
This is not about Sean. This is about us.
I'm a very passionate State of Origin
Who's the better player, Barry Robin or Russell Ebert?
Barry Robin by a whisker.
Oh.
Two great champions, but Barry Robin... Well, Barry could play in any position.
And so could Russell.
Russell couldn't play ruck. Barry Robin played ruck, centre forward. But they're both wonderful champions, and I would not say anything against the Ebert family. Fantastic.
Did you kill a pet cat when you put down the rat sack to poison and get rid of all the rats that you had a problem with last year that ate all your tomatoes?
No, I
didn't. Did you kill pet cat in the area?
I didn't.
Intel is yes.
What?
Because you put down the poison.
I put the poison. Didn't kill a cat and didn't kill a rat. So
but you lost a turtle.
I lost the turtle. I probably killed the butler.
What was the turtle called again?
He was known as the legend. I reckon that's what's happened. I didn't kill a cat.
Right.
I didn't kill a rat, but I reckon I killed the turtle.
Can I have that bed, please, going again?
Oh,
makes a segment, Sean.
Oh, I'll run this sucker. On.
Come on, go it again. Go here. If you bumped into Chappelle Corby, what would you say?
I say, Chappelle.
Where is it?
What?
Thank you.
I'd say, Chappelle, get on with your life. Mm. Forget the hoo-ha. Don't have all this bloody drama. I don't want to read another story about you. You have a drug cheat.
Do you want a drug cheat? Do you want Rory Sloane to captain, not Tex Walker of the Adelaide Crows?
I question Tex's captaincy.
Just answer the question.
I'm answering. What
no,
think
but
I'm
you're
doing
hesitating.
Playing?
Yes or no? Do you want Sloane to be our club captain?
No, stay with Tex. But I question his captaincy.
Whacked in the last 24 hours. And which sports person would you do a nude centrefold with?
Which port? What?
Which sports person would you do a nude centrefold with?
No, I'm not into that stuff. I'd do it with you.
Buzz off! No way!
Yeah, I would. You and I together.
So you haven't got anyone in mind.
And you know what? I'd embarrass you.
Yeah.
I'd make you. No, I can't say that.
Should I play a song?
Yeah.
Oh, Lordy.
You don't need a fig leaf. chance to take a couple of calls, Jazz.
Yep. Let's go to Chrissy of Nova Gardens. G'day, Chris.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks,
good,
Chris.
Mate.
Good, fellas. Hey, I was listening to KG earlier, and Jazz, you were berating him a bit about our big captain, Tex Walker.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more with KG. I mean, the thing is with Tex is, you know, as Crow supporters, we all love him, but...
Exactly.
In my opinion, it looks like he's playing within himself. Like, he's not imposing himself. He's not, you know, defenders, you think of forwards like Wayne Carey. And now, I know not everyone can be Carey, but or Revolt, they charge at the ball and they just crash packs. They bring the ball to ground.
Yep.
Four blokes fall around him. And Tex just doesn't do that. And I think that he needs to, I mean, he's got potential to be an absolute superstar of, you know, but he's just lacking that. That's my opinion, isn't
Chris,
it?
Chris, Tex is a mobile key forward. He's not your crash and bash type key forward in the past. We've got to realise he plays up high. He moves around a lot. That's his role in the side there, Christopher.
Well,
Josh Jenkins should be playing that role because he's got the frame and he should be playing. Yeah, everyone's whacking Tex, but I think Josh Jenkins needs to step up a bit more in terms of, his physique.
I go back to my point. Tex is our captain. Tex is our leader.
But he plays up high. He's a mobile running
forward. Well, so is Josh Jenkins. So who's going to do it? Nobody. And that's
correct.
That's the part that infuriated me.
Chris, valid point.
It's a good point, actually.
Thanks, Chris. We've got to keep moving. Andrew of Saw Elizabeth North. G'day, Andy.
Howdy. I wanted to find out, do you think the umpiring is a bit biased at Geelong?
be intimidated by the Geelong crowd?
Yes, I do. This is a good point, Andrew. Yes, I reckon the I'm not being sour grapes here, but I reckon the Cats
I'm not being sour grapes either, but there was an incident with Harry Taylor who got the goal in the second quarter. Hardigan had Tom Hawkins all over him.
Yep.
And the free kick wasn't called and Harry Taylor got a goal out of it.
Yep.
And that's when the momentum started to change in the second quarter. The same thing went down the other end and it wasn't called.
Look, I agree. I watched the game very closely Friday night and I'm not whinging, I'm not complaining, but the rubber, the green, did go the catch way, and I just wonder whether the crowd down there does intimidate the umpires.
Well, free kick count, 24-23 in favour of Geelong.
Yeah, but it's where you
free
get them.
Free kicks in it's forward 50. Yeah, but free kicks in forward 50, Andy, is 3-2. 3 to Geelong, 2 to the Adelaide Crows. But all the free kicks were in the midfield.
Yeah, but a lot of it was for scragging and everything. It never got paid. But the same thing with Geelong got paid. And coming back to the week before with Charlie Dixon, when the 32nd clock, I've watched it a few times on Foxtel. I thought the clock started once the player got back to his feet and was going back on his mark, not when he took the ball in the mark.
No.
Because that clock had already started.
Exactly. See, and the previous week, Andy, you're right, Robbie Gray got interfered with when the ball went forward umpteen times when Port Adelaide played Geelong, but no free kick. And
Geelong get away with it all the time.
Well, Kenny Hinkley came out in the Advertiser this week and said Robbie Gray is not being protected. And that was the case down at the Cattery.
How does Geelong get 3 home games in a row?
Well, that's a good question. Very good question.
It's because they were redeveloping the ground and they didn't get a lot of home games in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, so lucky
they
just answered that.
Yeah.
That's a fair point.
But tell you what, they've applied for a final, AFL final, but they've been denied it.
Triple M family on the Twitter. Jackie Hudson, good friend of our kids. Keyboard warriors, Jars, you can never avoid trolls, sadly. I like to see how the umpires deal with the abuse they cop.
Do you like the four umpire? They nearly ran into a couple of players.
Go back to two.
Well,
why not?
They'll never go back to two.
Well, why not?
No, they won't. No, they won't. They won't admit they've got it wrong. They'll stay
with
three. They'll stay with three.
And four. And what have they got? Four boundary umpires.
Oh, they're everywhere.
Do we need two goal umpires?
No, they'll crash into each other. Gee whiz!
What?
Just throwing something
at you.
Why don't we just have umpires running everywhere?
Can we get rid of that stupid bounce?
We're going.
Last touch.
We are going.
Do you like that or not?
No, I'm not convinced about that. No, I'm not convinced.
Thank you for being involved, family. It's been
fantastic today.
Interesting
Sunday.
And now the boys have a bye now, so they're going to have a bit of a rest, the Adelaide Crows boys.
And we're back on Saturday morning, morning, yeah, but at 7 o'clock.
Who are you with next week? Yeah, Louis yesterday. You've had Biggles, you've had Tyson Edwards.
I think it's Biggles. We're back next Saturday morning.
You're going through them a lot, aren't you?
Well, no, I just love it.
What's that? I just don't want to work with you.
Nothing like a bit of variety in one's life.
That's not what I'm hearing.
Have a wonderful time, Jars. I'll see you at 10 o'clock next Sunday. Bye, everyone.
Thank you, Jars. Thank you, KG. Thank you, Dead Set Legend. Stand by for the Sunday Rub. It's coming up in just a few moments at Triple M.
The Sunday Dead Set Legends. Every Sunday morning from 10 on 104.7 Triple M. Thanks to CMI Toyota.
South Australia's number one Toyota dealer and the home of the 1-hour express service.
Triple M.